Why was God so enthralled with man? Why did he love man so much? Why was he willing to suffer an excruciating, embarrassing, shameful death on the cross? Why was he willing to put himself through that and lower himself? Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. We welcome all of you who are joining us by television, those of you joining us at airjesus.com. Stay tuned to today's message. It's part two, something we started last week, entitled, What Makes God Happy? What makes God happy? I was awakened early one morning last week with that question on my mind, the presence of God there just to ask me that question. What makes God happy? And I began to investigate his word and search my heart and spirit to find out the things that bring joy and delight and happiness to God. Because when God is happy, oh, my, we're going to be so much more happier when our Heavenly Father is happy with us. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time, I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Praise God. We're talking about what makes God happy. What makes God happy? I love that verse. There's so much in the book of Zephaniah, and I begin to just look at some of the content of Zephaniah. But I love that verse 17, where it describes God rejoicing over us, as we talked about last week. He'll rejoice over us with great joy. And I like that little middle part as well. It says, he will rest in his love. I read that in some different translations, and one translation put it this way. It related it or referred it to us. It says, he will cause you to rest in his love. Another translation said, he will renew you in his love. He'll renew you. He'll refresh you in his love. He'll cause you to rest in his love. And I begin to just sense in this book of Zephaniah that from that verse that God wants us to know so much how much he loves us. How much he loves us, and how we are in need of meditating in that love, spending some time meditating on that. It's actually an awesome thought when you just meditate on the fact of how much God loves you. You know, whenever I'm in trouble circumstances or trouble situations, I have to always remind myself, wait a minute, I'm not here by myself. I'm not forsaken. I'm not in this all alone. My Heavenly Father loves me. He loves me. I love something that Pastor Creflo Dollar said. He had a little incident, a situation that he related. I was listening to him speak. He said he was on a cruise ship. And he was in his cabin one night. And he said that evidently they had hit a terrible storm. He was afraid that ship was going to turn over and lives were going to be lost. He said his window was just covered, flooded with water. And so he thought water was taking over the boat where it was about to sink. And he said, as he laid there, his water beat fiercely upon his window. He said, he had to remind himself. He said, God loves Creflo. He said, God loves Creflo. Then he said, God's not going to let Creflo go under. And he said he just kept repeating, he meditated on that love. God loves Creflo. God's not going to let Creflo go under. And he said the storm passed. And he said the next morning he found out that that was not a storm. That was a crew washing the windows. But I just love the way, instinctively that when he thought he was in danger, when he thought he was in turmoil, when he thought he was in trouble, he immediately began to meditate on how much God loved him. And so that's something you ought to do. Zephaniah reminds us of that. And God says, I'm going to renew you in my love. I'm going to refresh you in my love. I want you to rest in my love. Realize how much I love you. I want you to get a hold of how much I love you. I remember my mother once, I accompanied her on one of her doctor visits. And this particular time we were at the doctor and he told my mother, he said, tests don't look good. And he said, we're going to have to do surgery on you. And so he gave her all the instructions, all the paperwork she needed. And they even put the hospital band on her arm and told her to report back in a few days for surgery. And a few days went by and sure enough, my mother went back for surgery. I mean, this time when she went back, the doctor did a review of the x-rays again. He did more tests again. He said, this is strange. He said, now you don't need surgery. He said, I don't see what we saw last time you were here. And they had to cut the hospital band off her arm and released her free to go. And my mother, you know, she was so happy. And she said, when I was talking to her, she said, you know, God must really love me. God must really love me. She got a revelation of how much God loved her, how much God loved her, just to excuse her from surgery where she wasn't even anticipating or looking for it, but God did it anyhow, just to share an inkling of his love, to express how much, and she caught a hold of it. She said, God really loves me, doesn't he? He really loves me. I like something I read. It says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and he chose your heart. God loves you so much, and sometimes we forget. And so I really enjoyed Zephaniah reminding us that he'll cause us to rest in his love. He'll cause us to be renewed in his love. And so sometimes we have to consciously take a hold of how much God really, really loves us. And it's so important to acknowledge him and to recognize his loving care of all of us, all of our lives, and express our appreciation and gratitude and our love to him as we acknowledge. You ought to do that daily. Acknowledge how much God loves you. It's something really to marvel over. You ought to just pause in your prayer every day and say, God, you really love me, don't you? This is something. You really, folks, it'll change how you carry yourself. It'll change how you deal with situations. When you understand that God loves you and he's not going to let you go under, and he's with you. He loves you. God loves you. So, you know, just meditate on that. Get a hold of that. And so Zephaniah, and you know, this love that God has toward us is so special. The Bible says even the angels question God about it. Book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about a certain angel that spoke up in staff meeting. He said, what is man that you're so mindful of them? And the son of man that you visit, they had a problem with it. The angels didn't understand, why was God so enthralled with man? Why did he love man so much? Why was he willing to suffer an excruciating, embarrassing, shameful death on the cross? Why was he willing to put himself through that and lower himself? Here's the King of all majesty willing to lower himself as a man and walk the earth. And they didn't understand it, so the angels were puzzled about it. They'd been looking into it for all eternity. And so they finally asked the question and stopped me. Why are you so in love with man? What is man? Why do you love him? Why are you so mindful of him? And why are you visiting with him all the time? I'm telling you, that love runs so deep. That love, the Bible says he loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. That's in the Gospel of John. He loves us as much as he loves Jesus. And I can prove it to you. He sent Jesus to die for you. That proves that he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. A lot of people never thought about that. He loves you. He gave up Jesus to gain you. He had Jesus already, gave Jesus up to gain you. He loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. And so we're talking about what makes God happy. Well, that's one thing that makes him happy, that love that he has for us. And when he is the object of our love and our devotion, And when God's fully able to express his love and his desires and his goodwill toward us, that's what makes him happy. When he's able to express his full love and all of his desires and his goodwill toward us, and when he's able to be the recipient, the object of our love and devotion, oh, it makes him happy. And so I kind of picked out as a key in Zephaniah to really look at the overall picture of Zephaniah as I studied it, is that really what makes God happy is the fact that when, you know, God is happy when his people are in right relationship with him. That's what makes him happy. When we're in right relationship with God, it makes him happy. Look at that key text we used there in chapter 3. Look at verse 17 again. I noticed some other things there. Notice what it said. Zephaniah reminds us of. He said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He reminds us that God is mighty. There is nothing he cannot do. He is mighty. There is nothing too hard for him. He is mighty. With him, all things are possible. He is mighty. So Zephaniah reminds us to stay open to the possibilities with God. Stay open. Stay open to the possibilities with God. He is mighty. I was listening to a gentleman on television the other day, and he got so moved as he shared his testimony that he broke down and cried right in the middle of his interview. But he's a successful businessman today, and he was sharing his story about how he made it, and he got into the middle of his story, and he said things had hit rock bottom so hard that he was living out of his car. He said he was living, and he broke down in tears as he told it when he got to that part. He said things were so bad and so hard, I was living out of my car. But then he says, oh, but I pulled myself together, and I kept working and striving toward my dream, and I realized that with God, all things are possible. And so Zephaniah reminds us of that, that God is mighty. God is mighty. There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing that's impossible to him. There is nothing that's too hard for him. So keep your mind. Some people are so focused on a certain way that it has to happen, that if it doesn't happen this way, I'm doomed. If I don't get it like this, I'm forever lost. If I don't get this breakthrough, you've been shut up to possibilities. No, God is a God of possibilities. You got to be a possibility thinker. God, you have to be open to possibility. With God, all things are possible. God could let you fail there to open up something way over here you didn't even know about. He is the God of all possibilities. So never give up. Never be distraught because something crashes here or a door closes there and you think that's the end of your life. No, no, no. He is, with God, all things are possible. So that's why Zephaniah said he's mighty. He reminds us God is mighty. There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing that's too hard for him. With him all, turn to your neighbor and say, with him all things are possible. Say, God loves me. And I love this. I love that next part. Look at the same verse 17, but look at the next part. He answers the question. It's almost like he could hear us asking the question. Will he save? Is he able to save? Notice what it says. He will save. He will save. God, turn to your neighbor and say, he will save. He will save. He will save. He will save. And this whole book of Zephaniah, it ends on such a high note. It really ends with this thought, as verse 17 really is the beginning of it. When we see this picture of God rejoicing, singing over us with joy, rejoicing over us with joy, God is so happy and he's excited over us. And one reason he's excited is because he is now bringing restoration into our lives. And so this is what is actually happening here in the text. The people had been destroyed. They had been beat down. They had suffered. They had been judged. Things had gone wrong. And, you know, just fierce wrath had come against them. They lost everything. And they had just been punished and just killed off. And, you know, they just suffered a lot of calamity. But God got happy because he said, that ain't the end of the story. That is not the end of the story. And so God starts getting happy over their future. God said, no, the story's not over yet. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bless you. And he said, I'm going to do it so wonderfully and so great. I'm going to rejoice over you with joy. I'm going to rejoice over you with singing. I'm going to be so happy over you because you're going to be so blessed. You're going to be so happy. So the thing that God says to us, God's a restorer. He is a restorer. No matter what you have been through, no matter how bad, no matter how devastating, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter any of that, the message to us is God is a restorer. He is a restorer. He never ends on a negative note. He never ends on a negative note. If your life is in a negative note right now, you know the story isn't over. God never ends. Ends on a negative note. He is a restorer. He is a restorer. And so God got so excited over where he was bringing them and all that he was good. So he rejoiced, and that rejoicing over was over all the good he was going to do for them. You will find throughout scriptures where when you see the words, I rejoice over you, in many texts it goes on to say, I rejoice over you to do you good, to do you. He's excited about what he's going to do for you. He's excited about your future. He's excited about your potential. He's excited about your dreams that you had never even thought possible for yourself. He's excited about the places he's going to take you and the things he wants to do in and of your life and to do with you. Notice the end of that. He said, I'm going to bring you back to fame. And he said, I'm going to undo all that afflicts you. I'm going to bring you back into praise and the fame and make you a name and praise among all the people of the earth. I love that part where he says, those who were sad, bring them in. Let's make them happy. And he began to tell them about the joy. Even though they had a horrendous past, God was excited about what he was doing in their lives and the big picture of what he had in store for them. So Zephaniah is a book of restoration that lets us know that God has a glorious plan of restoration for you. I don't care what you've suffered, what you've lost. And sometimes in life, when we lose so much, we suffer such heartache. Sometimes we think we could never come back. Sometimes we think this blow has dealt me. I could never recover. I've lost too much. But no, God lets you know, no, he's a restorer. He not only brings you back, he brings you back better than you were before you went under. Glory to God. He's a restorer. Well, that makes God happy. That's why he got so happy. God got happy thinking about it. He got happy. They made God happy. God said, man, he said, oh, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to sing over you and rejoice over all the good that's happening to you. God, it made him happy. So that's one of the things that really makes God happy is restoring our lives, taking us to our destiny, taking us to our promise, bringing fruition to our dreams, bringing out our abilities and our gifts, making a demonstration out of us to bless those around us and to bless the earth. It makes God happy to do that, to be a part of that and to plan that out for your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm happy about that. I'm happy about, man, you know, sometimes in life you think the best is behind you. You think you're getting old and you're good day. No, that's not the way God thinks. That's not the way God, your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are in front of you. You haven't scratched the surface yet. Sometimes we think we've done it all and no, it's still up there in front of you. It's not over. God's a restorer. God's a restorer. God's a restorer. Somebody was talking to me about a week ago, and they were telling me, they were giving me some principles they had learned. They told me, they said, the older you get, the more you lose. And I understood what they were saying. They started explaining, you know, you lose your vision, you lose your hearing, you lose your mobility, you lose your loved ones, people dying all around. And so he was just laying that truth out for them. The older you get, the more you lose. But deep down in my heart, I wouldn't accept that. Deep down, because I know too much of God's word. But I walk with God because I know God's nature. So deep down inside, I was rebelling against that. I was smiling to him on the outside. But deep down, I was like, no. No, not the older. No, I said, man, the older I get, the better life's going to be, because I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to be more fruitful. I'm going to be in a different stage of life. And bless God, I'm going to work out and I'm going to be in great shape. Glory to God. I wasn't looking forward to diminishing or decreasing. I'm looking forward to the glory of old age, the way God intended it. So you got to know God's a restorer. I knew the truth of that. God's a restorer. God's a restorer. God is a restorer. God's a restorer. Well, what are some other things that make God happy? What makes God happy? And I see I'm not going to get into the, I don't know, man, I had at least, I don't know, I have about 8 or 9, 10 things that makes God happy. I don't even think we've gotten to number one yet. I had intended on finishing this up, but we'll have to take it. We'll take it another week. But man, this is good. I'm getting happy just thinking about what makes him happy. I'm getting happy. Those of you who are listening live, I want you to go to airjesus.com. And you can listen to this message number 7434, in its entirety, part 2 of What Makes God Happy. You can also email it to a friend absolutely free of charge. Thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
This ends message number 7434 by C. Elijah Bronner. To send this message, What Makes God Happy, Part 2, number 7434, to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This has been message number 7434. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.